bringing mom home. Or dad. Or both of them. So what we're talking about right now, the different ways that you can accommodate your property to expand the number of people currently living on that particular plot. And I met someone recently up in North Scottsdale that wanted a casita built. And I said, you know, before you build this casita, let's talk through all the options. There's actually a builder here in Arizona that has several communities that they're calling the Next Gen Homes. And I said, that builder's just not far from here, just up the road, building a whole subdivision of Next Gen Homes. And it's basically two homes under one roof. I said, why don't you go take a look at those while I draw up some designs and we get some plans. The next day, they called back and they said, Rosie, we really appreciate you coming out and visiting us. Don't draw up anything. We bought one of those homes. So I talked myself out of that job real fast.
Time to get our home builder's license, is that what you said? Upgrade from the remodeling license to the home building
license. Lots of options. Let's bring Bob back in. We were visiting with him before the break, calling from Whitman. He actually built a mother-in-law suite to bring mom home 13 years ago on his property out in Whitman. You know what the scary thing is, Bob?
Yes, sir.
With Google Earth, we think during the break we found your house. We're looking on your property right now. Isn't that scary? Okay. Isn't that creepy?
I kind of figured that's what you guys were up to.
Okay, so you were going to... You were going to
have a bright white new coated flat roof on it. So if that's the one you're looking at, that's it.
Well, judging by my home on Google Earth, they haven't updated Whitman in about 2 years.
Okay.
Listen, you wanted to share with us some of the pros and cons of having the home built on property. Y'all built it yourself, and you moved your mother-in-law back home, knowing it was going to be a long-term relationship, which I want to take my hat off and tell you congratulations. I think that's the right thing to do. But what are some of the downsides?
Well, first downside, obviously, you know, your mother-in-law is there every day. And if you don't have that relationship, that can be a stress. The one thing that I'm a tight guy, so all the utilities are shared. So that can be annoying sometimes. The cost of the maintenance is, you know, it's times two. You've got two of everything now.
Do you have a cost sharing agreement with your mother-in-law on how to share utilities, or is she in a rent paying situation to be there? Does she share? That's a point I never thought. Does she share in groceries? I mean,
no, I mean, it wouldn't feel right charging my mother-in-law for rent.
Good. I couldn't do it either.
Fixed income, so, you know, we're trying to let her have the best life that she can with minimal. I mean, luckily, we can do it. Groceries, she takes care of herself. She's got her own kitchen, refrigerator, stove, oven, no washer and dryer, so that's a downside, too. If you're going to do it, you want to try to do that. But so the casita is totally separate. She has no access to our house without going out and coming in through the front or the back. So that's a nice aspect as far as privacy. So
yeah,
you just can't wheel in while I'm running around in my underwear.
Okay.
Which is nice.
Okay, all right.
So, again, I would recommend that washing facilities, if you're going to do it, plan that in. The pros are, again, you know, she's disabled. So, you know, medically wise, we're there. If something happens, she's in a wheelchair, amputee. You know, quality of life. She's not able to get out so much. Another con was, again, we did this 13 years ago, and you have to find the right lot. You can't just buy a lot in town and put a casita on it. There's zoning restrictions. It had to be attached. You could not detach it. That was a separate you know,
okay.
that would be considered a separate house.
You do have to check the building codes, and of course, most HOAs won't allow this either. So you have to proceed
right.
completely legally and do the due diligence and the research. Okay.
Right. So it's not like you could. We thought about too, just putting a separate house out back, and we were told it has to be attached somehow. Now there's different ways of attaching things. You could do a breezeway,
right.
whatever. But so that was, you know, you got to do your research on it. But it's worked out really good.
Yeah.
I'd have to say,
well,
you know,
Bob,
all in all, but here's the negative too. The kids are gone now. So wife and I have a big house with three empty bedrooms and, you know, the mother-in-law's next door and, you know, what do you do? So that's one of the downsides too. I mean, it's probably time for us to downsize, but we're in a situation that we can't because of the situation.
Aha. Okay. Another good perspective. Well, Bob,
wait long enough. The kids will be back.
Yeah, that's right. Well, Bob, Bob, we certainly appreciate you calling in and sharing your family's experience on the pros and cons. And there are things there I'm not sure I would have thought of. Oh, yeah, wow.
The washer and dryer was something.
The washer, the dryer, the groceries, the utilities. How about communication in between the casita and the house? Would you want some kind of monitoring device, or is that an invasion of privacy? Do you have to just depend on cell phones and the emergency necklace, you know, I've fallen, call 911 apparatus? I don't know. But look, we've got another call here. John calling from Chandler. He'd like to get in on the topic of a mother-in-law suite. John, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, thanks for calling in. What you working on?
Well, 16 years ago, we built a home here in Chandler with a mother-in-law suite. It's about 700 square feet.
Okay, that's nice.
But some of the things that we looked at is the independence of my mother-in-law. At the time, she was only 80, but she was still driving, volunteering at the hospital and all that. But what you need to do is to look at where they are today, and then where are they going to be 5 years, 10 years, 16 years in our case? Where will they be in their life, and what will they need? And so when we designed it for later on.
Okay.
But we built it so it looked like it was today.
Good.
For example, the shower. We put in a full-size shower because we also knew that possibly down the road it would need one of those walk-in baths.
Very good.
The other thing that we did that a lot of people, I don't think they think about, is the grab rails, the handrails in the showers for their support.
Absolutely.
What we did was take 2x6s and place between the studs so that wherever we needed to place those grab rails.
You've got the anchoring you need to
reach them there.
Yeah, that's a great call. We're seeing a lot more requests for that kind of blocking in the bathrooms today.
Right. The other thing is make the doors wide enough for wheelchairs.
Absolutely.
And walkers. The one company or builder that we looked at, the doors were still too narrow for a mother-in-law suite, even though they were calling it that. And then I think the other things that they need to be do is to make sure there's enough space for all their stuff. My mother-in-law has a walk-in closet. She has a walk-in pantry. Why? She doesn't need a lot of food. She doesn't have a lot of clothes. But she has those knickknacks or seasonal items that she wants to be able to put out
store.
So there's that storage area. So it works well. Having the washer and dryer in there is fine. I think it's an added benefit, but we chose not to do that But ours is, the mother-in-law suite is integrated into our home.
Okay. Well, awesome. All things you need to consider. I'd like to know one more question from John. John, I've got one question for you. You've had your mom there 16 years?
Yes.
Okay. Do you have a barbecue in your backyard?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You're the winner. We were going to try and find a way to give this out of appreciation. It's not much for 16 years creating an environment for your mom. But we have a robot grill cleaner called a GrillBot that you actually just put on your grill, close the lid, and it actually cleans your grill without you doing anything. We actually found these.
I found them at the National Hardware Show.
Like 2 years ago, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And so we put it to the test, and we were surprised how well it worked. We mentioned them about a year ago. A couple of people bought them and tried them, really liked them. And so GrillBot calls us, like 2 weeks ago, babe?
Yep.
And says, hey, what's happening in Arizona? I mean, we're shipping a lot of these units to Arizona. And so they said, look, we'd like to thank you guys for mentioning it. Here's some just to give away. What are some of the it does a pretty darn good job.
It does. You have to have the kind of barbecue that closes. You know, it can't be like
somebody got upset with it since it fell off. Well, of course it falls off. It's an automatic robot.
Yeah, and it's a little loud.
Because it's clanging around on the inside.
So you're gonna close your lid, and it's programmed to clean the inside. It does a great job. Not quite as much as if you got in there with your little brush and fine-tooth it. So when you finish, you know, it clangs around in there, and it finishes. And then you're going to want to kind of just wipe it down, make sure but the bristles are good and tight. They're stainless. It's a cool-looking little unit. Comes in different colors.
Okay.
Runs about $100.
Well, John is going to win a GrillBot. And as a matter of fact, if you still have Bob's number from Whitman and he has a barbecue, we're going to send him one too. So Bob and John, we're both going to send him a GrillBot. And if you're interested in looking at a GrillBot for yourself, what do? Look them up on the internet, because we don't have our e-commerce store so far?
That's right. GrillBot.com.
Okay.
Or Amazon carries them as well.
There you go. Oh, man. All right. Taking care of mom, taking care of the family. That's what we're all about here at Rosie on the House. It's our goal and our objective every Saturday to show up and become, by hook or crook, any way we can, your best friend. And as a best friend, I'd like to talk to you about shopping.